Hi, and welcome to this new episode of The Light Leaders. Today, I'm with Nova. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, Alex.
So I'm excited to have you, Nova, because people who follow this podcast know I've been personally and in my interviews into a journey into raw foods and being a fruitarian and having an interest even in breatharianism, pranic lifestyle, going pretty deep on this. And because I'm a man, I think I like to interview people I more easily identify with, role models. So it happens that almost everyone in the area I've interviewed are men, apart from Anne Osborne, actually. And I've been wanting to interview more women also. But I think I've had more women. I'm thinking maybe also because it might be harder as a woman. I don't know. We'll explore that today. There's different things in that area, different potential triggers for others. So I'll put, as usual, chapters so people can navigate, but we'll do a little backstory on you, Nova, and we'll talk about diet, how it's evolving. We'll link that to planetary ascension. We'll go into breatharianism. We'll go into the woman's side also around, for example, bleeding and the periods, and also into relationships. So it's going to be a lot we'll cover today, and I'm excited. But my first question for you, Nova, is what are you grateful for?
That's a loaded one. I can go on forever, but I am
let's
so
say right
grateful.
Now, like what comes
right about? Now, I'm so grateful for that connection and that knowing, that firm, solid connection and knowing, because it's changed my life in every aspect, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. So that connection within to God, to source, whatever you want to call it or prefer to call it, that has been what's steered me and what's kept me on the right path. And whenever something's taken me kind of off course a bit, it's not as effective at doing so. I can come straight back in. And that's the most powerful thing for not just yourself, but for everyone around you. So
thank you, that's amazing. And actually, that makes me think that's probably another topic we can cover, as you also a lot into the spiritual realm. Is there's a lot of gurus, you know, from India. They look quite unhealthy, they're quite fat, and they eat different ways, or it doesn't have to be from India, from like very, let's say, spiritually advanced people from around the world, where they don't eat clean. And so that's going to be an interesting one to cover too. But before that, I'd love people to know a bit more about you, and also for myself. Like, I've been following you on Instagram and checking here and there, listening to one of your interviews. But you have a very interesting story with personal health challenges, right? And you wanted to become a surgeon. Also, do you want to give a bit of a backstory, how you got into being spiritual and being especially interested in raw foods and how we eat?
Yeah, sure. And I'll try and keep it as short and sweet as possible, because this is a big one. I think I needed several massive awakenings. And what by that, I mean like hits in the face, you know, like by the universe, to actually wake me up at several points in my life. Because if you knew me, you know, growing up, I'm not the same person at all. I'm almost the complete opposite person. And by that, I mean personality-wise, like everything about me is different, the way I act, the way I speak, the way everything. And so I was that, you know, that high achiever that wanted to do everything perfect. And, you know, I was a gymnast, elite gymnast, was good at everything, good at school, wanted to become a surgeon. Why? Because it's the top of the top. And I wanted to help people. That's where it came from, right? but what was, you know, the hardest thing to do? I want to, that's what I'm going to do. So, you know, that's what I had my eyes set on, and went through university, and I did what the equivalent of pre-med is. So biomedical science, I majored in human physiology. So that's a 4-year degree. And then you sit, you know, an exam and you go into medical school. And it's quite interesting because, you know, before all of that, I was an atheist 4 years ago, you know, because what I understood was that, you know, all religions claim to be about love, about union, and, you know, God and so on. They all had similar stories, but they all were against each other. And we all know this, right? Like, it's, you know, they're like, we're the one and only, and, you know, unless you're with us, you're not going to heaven or whatever the case may be. And so I was like, oh, all right, well, that's not me. I'm science. You know, science is God. So I was that person. Science was God. And so, you know, I completed my degree. And towards the end of it, my mom actually was diagnosed with stage 4 squamous cell carcinoma, which is a type of, you know, epithelial cell, like a skin cell cancer, but on the inside. So not the outer skin, but the inside tissues, like on the skin. And the stage 4 obviously is terminal. She was healthy, you know, Mediterranean diet, blah, 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 but she had a lot of stress and a lot of that sort of thing. So that was my first blow to, where are you going, Nova? You know, because I was headed towards, you know, becoming a surgeon, going into that system. And what this showed me, you know, with the time that I spent watching and being with my mom through treatments, you know, chemo, radiation, all of it, because she was so young and strong, she got all of it, all the hardest stuff. She had surgeries, and then she was put into remission. So the next few months later, basically, she was told, you know, that it came back and that there was nothing that they could do for it. At this point, I started seeing a lot, you know, within the system that I didn't like. And it was mainly that it felt like a conveyor belt. And there was no soul, you know, there was just all these people that were channeled through this thing, and it was a conveyor belt to death. And I already knew that. I saw that, even though I felt like it was the only way. So, you know, that kind of begun that opening up. And the worst thing that happened at that point, which was, I guess, the awakening that I had that shifted me from heading, you know, towards that and coming in a different direction, was that my mum was told that there was nothing that they could do for her, right? Just some more experimental chemo, etc., and just basically go home and die. And, you know, being the scientist that I was, the trained scientist, I went through all this research online and, you know, came to the surgeon's office with, you know, a pile of research saying, hey, there's actually people in this country and this country that are doing this surgery. And how can you say that, you know, there's nothing for her? You know, she's so young, and yeah, we can do this. If you don't do it, someone else will do it. And he looked at me straight in the face and just, you know, my mum was sitting there with my dad behind me. And he just looked at me and said, doesn't matter, she's going to bleed out and die on the table. It's only 5% chance she'll make it through the surgery. And that was like I was, what, 22 at the time? And I was beyond shocked at that treatment, you know, to a human being. She was there, you know, and I couldn't even look at her in the eye. And I remember, because my mum never cried. And at that point, you know, when we walked, she didn't cry in the office, walked to the car, I turned the key because I was driving them, and she's sobbing in the back, just sobbing and crying. And that was the moment I was like, F no, this is not the path that I'm taking. I don't want anything to do with that system, and it would cause nausea for me to actually go to one of these places. And by that, I mean a hospital, a clinic, or anything in that medical, world. That was it for me. I said, even though this might be the best thing for me, I don't want anything to do with this stuff. So that took me on that direction. And I decided, all right, well, if I'm not doing that, I've got to do aviation. So I went and I did aviation at university, something else to pile on. I did 18 hours worth of flight training. And then, in all this, I got married and I wanted to have a baby, and that life happened. The second massive point, which was the one that took me from mainstream straight into like the opposite end of the spectrum, basically, in health and healing and so on, and wellness and diet, was, being pregnant with my first son. And, you really start researching stuff. So especially as women, all parents will start doing that, right? We want what's best for our kids. But as a mother, with baby inside you, you start taking care of yourself, you start reading about all these things. And, as a research scientist, I got into all kinds of stuff. And I would spend, it was my passion. I loved it. I started to read about, vegetarianism and this and that. And my sister turned vegetarian. I started turning, but I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Had my baby boy, and I was the only one in my surroundings at the time that questioned the shots, and nobody else around me questioned it. And, being myself a scientist, and my ex-husband, a scientist as well, still scientist. It was a struggle. I'll tell you, it was a struggle. And even though it felt like, this isn't right and I don't want it, and I pushed and I pushed back and I pushed back, everyone around me, including, the father, was like, well, it's got to be done. It's got to be done. If you don't take him, I'm taking him. So later than usual in the schedule, he got a few shots and I had to take him. And that was something that I had to do, clearly, for my own journey of really realizing the depth of all of this. I saw reactions in my son every time. They weren't visible to me. So I took him three times in the first year of his life. He would get rashes all over his body. Doctors, take him to the doctor, get some cortisol cream. Oh, it's like, no, I don't want to do any of that. Anyway, it took me three goes to finally click in my head. And I was like, over my dead body, no more. That's it. And that's when I went, because I went straight into all the research. I was watching all those documentaries. I was looking through all the, journal articles. I went wild and I said, enough is enough. So that
was
it.
When was that?
Where I found that was, my son was born in 2000 and, oh God, I just went mental blank. So he's 10. He's 10. So 9 years ago. That was 9 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
2014.
Yeah. So that was when I found all of the amazing souls that, that are just the true light leaders. Dr. Robert Morse is obviously my, my mentor, basically. I love, absolutely love his soul. John Rose as well, and Dr. Sebi, and, Professor Spiro, which you've had, on your show, and all of these incredible souls, like Fully Raw Christina as a female. You were talking about, there's so many males out there, and it's true, there's so many males that I was looking up to and researching and so on. And but there's a few females that, that I was like, oh my gosh. Back then I said, it's where I'm going. This is it. And I knew. So fast forward, this, it's just been an incredible ride, basically. Still ongoing.
Nice. Thank you for sharing. That wasn't too long.
Go on.
No, that's great. That's great. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And So until then, you got, so you, through the shots, you got deep into that, and then did you immediately make the switch for yourself also?
Yeah, so
Like diet wise, because
that's
a lot of people who didn't want or don't want the shots or things like this, they don't all end
don't
up
change.
raw foodies. So.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and it took me a while. So I must say, you know, especially because, and we'll talk about, I guess, family dynamics and so on, right? You know, with opposing views and all this stuff, it's a complicated one. But as soon as I knew, and I, you know, I did all that research and I started really immersing myself in all of that, and I immersed my family in that. I changed to vegetarian basically from there. You know, it took a couple of years to plant-based, like vegan, let's say. But in all of this time, I knew that the higher percentage of what was coming in had to be, you know, of light, basically alive, raw and alive, because that's what I was researching. And I knew that that was a process, but it took us, you know, several years, you know, with short cleanses and that sort of thing. And with my, you know, with my family as well. So yeah, obviously my son had meat and all kinds of things the first year of life. Like, this is what we feed our kids. It's crazy. But then, you know, that stopped and things changed over there, you know, and I started, you know, because of my, I guess, mother's guilt from what, you know, I felt like I had done to him with the shots. You know, all I wanted to do was detox him. That's all I wanted to do. That's why I went so deep into all of that. So I was like, oh my God, I, you know, I knew it and I did it. And oh, okay. Yep. Yeah. This is what I'm going to do now. I'm going to take everyone on this journey and this, you know.
And in Australia, yeah. I think they make it a bit hard for parents when they don't give the shots too, right? Like, for going to schools and for receiving benefits, these kind of things, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is and it isn't. It's also a perception. And once you know that, you know, that you don't have to, and you know, legally, obviously, you don't have to.
Yeah.
Even though they portray it as if you do, access to, you know, schooling and, you know, childhood, early childhood education, like kindergarten and that sort of thing, that is subsidized, basically. So you do get help when you do, take the shot. When you take
too
the
late,
shot.
Too late.
My bad.
I'll put
that
a
is
beep.
Subsidized. I did it. The word. Yeah. So, you know, it's viewed by most parents that are on the fence, actually think they believe that they have to in order for their kid to go to, you know, a certain center. And some of them do, but no, you can still work around all of it.
Good to know. As you shared about the relationship, if you're willing to share, I'm really interested in when you have a child, especially, you know, I guess it raises a lot for the relationship around how we're going to feed the child, for example, because in the mainstream, the kind of diet we have could be seen as child abuse, actually, right? So, like, how was it for you? Like,
Yeah, that's been a big one. And a lot of it, like some of it, I won't speak of, because there's been a lot of fear as well. You know, after separation, of what could happen, what, you know, things in that sort of light. But, you know, even within the dynamics of, you know, okay, now I've started switching everyone's diet in the house, and there's this struggle, and, you know, there's so much, I guess, what do you call it when you, you know, when you're butting heads? Yeah, when you're butting heads.
Yeah, friction.
Friction.
Resistance.
Yeah, within the relationship, resistance, those are the words. Yes, yes, there was a lot of that. All in
because
all, it was a very...
Because your ex-husband wasn't super on board?
No. So very much, you know, meat eater and all of that. And to be fair, you know, it was hard at the beginning, but because I was in charge of, you know, food and so on in the house, you know, my cooking, you know, morphed into, you know, plant-based, and it was still amazing, you know. So because all you use all those spices, I'm Spanish, you know, so we use so much flavor that that was an easier transition over time. So it was a bit of a struggle at first, and I think most people know that, but once you kind of get used to not for people that are, you know, that struggle, once you get used to that, you just have to pull out one ingredient. It's just one ingredient, and then flood it with all these different ones. And, you know, that in itself, you know, makes it fun. So it was actually all right. And, you know, the little one was little, so that's what he got. So yeah. And I have to say my second boy, my second boy actually never went to a hospital, has really never seen a doctor except recently. And, you know, he was never had any shots or anything like that. And he was brought up, you know, plant-based until separation. So once we did separate, and a lot of that did have to do with how different we saw life, because let's be honest, you know, it's really tough to live a lifestyle the way that we live it, because it's not just diet. It really changes everything. You know, the people that you do hang around with or attract, the conversations, anything that happens in social, you know, social gatherings is surrounding food, and there's all of this, all these changes and all these people that come in and out and start flowing. You know, some people you stay friends, or you may stay in a relationship with for, you know, for forever, who knows. You know, there's a deep understanding and love and respect, and there's a flow that you can find, right? But most of the time it's a tough one that might be the breaking point, really, because it's what we eat all the time. So and for me, you know, I said I cannot have, you know, the corpses of animals in my house. I don't want them. I just don't. You know, and I said, if you want to consume them elsewhere, that's totally up to you. But if I am in charge of this, I'm not bringing that into my house. So, you know, if that's fine, then we're good. If not, you know, then that's an issue. And that was part of the issue. So, but the biggest one for me was when that when there was a lot of friction, was because I had another massive awakening, I guess. Don't like calling it awakening, but a big shock to the system. And that's when, you know, I was sick myself. And that was whilst I was, you know, researching all of this detox and all of these amazing humans. And I had already purchased Dr. Morse's book. And, you know, I was on my path. I was helping the family, doing short little fasts. And, you know, that's when, you know, shit hit the fan for me. And I actually got really sick, you know, after my second child. And I blew up like a balloon. I had, you know, those symptoms of fibromyalgia, which is just basically, you know, full body acidosis, you know, just pain everywhere, bloating, fog. I was not myself, because I've always been fit and healthy, you know, and even through having my kids, my two kids. And so at that point in time was that, whoa, okay, I need to take care of myself now. And that's where I started shifting my, you know, big time. I was like, okay, we've been playing, changing, you know, diet, whatever. Now I'm like, nah, I got to go deep. And I understood that. I really understood that at that point. I needed that. So that's when I did a 40-day juice fast. Mm. And during that 40-day juice fast, on day 20, I went and I did a transformational breathing, so breath work, where you breathe consciously and continuously for over an hour. And I fused with God and floated out of that room. I was never the same. I was a completely different person. And in that point in time, I was in tears of bliss and joy in this perfect, like I am love and I love everyone, and in that energy of source basically. And I floated out and I walked back into my house. And at this point in time, I was one of those mothers that didn't do anything for herself. Just like my mom, I would do everything for others in the house, and I'd put myself last. And so these things were rare, going to a yoga class or going to, you know, meditation or whatever it was, you know, and the breath work. And I walked back in and I met, you know, my ex-husband, and you know, the boys were there, and he just looked at me with a face that was just, it was not friendly at all. And that's when the penny dropped. It was like, all right, this, what am I doing here? What am I doing? You know, you're not happy. You're trying to, you know, put something together that's just not fitting. Like, he doesn't want to, and I'm flying in a different direction, and I've caged myself. It's nobody else's fault, you know, and trying to, you know, get those beliefs, those societal beliefs of, oh, you can't separate a family, you can't, you know, that's failure, and you can't do this, you can't do that, all these you can't do, you have to be perfect, you know. That was all obsolete. I was like, I'm done. I, you know, don't want to do this anymore, you know, and I'm with all the love and all respect, you know, I want to set you free, basically. So that was a massive one. And we talk about, you know, how you were talking about breatharianism and the process of us moving towards that. And is that a thing? Honestly, breath is number one. That's I know you would know in your experience, you know, how breath is king, and then what you bring in, you know, is second. And then obviously what you feel and what you think, all of those things are on a spectrum of, call it negative, positive, alkaline, acidic, or bad, you know. It's just that full spectrum, basically. So, yeah, there's my tangent when I went, get it? But what's been your, you know, how was your experience in terms of, you know, your relationships, your close relationships, I guess, and how did you navigate that on your journey?
Yes. Yeah, I would say for me, the food awakening came after the spiritual awakening. So a lot of the things that created more separation happened, for example, yeah, when I started trying plant medicine or meditating more. And I also transitioned to vegan at the time, but it was like maybe following that. So my first disconnection was probably more from, okay, I want to do yoga, I want to meditate, I want to, you know, I don't want to go to bed late and to gossip and do these things, you know. And as still simultaneously, I went through the food journey, but I feel I've really deepened the food journey in the last 2 years, mainly. And that was an extra step, but it's been easier to do in Bali. And I had already changed my life, you know. I was already living in Bali with here in Ubud. Most of the social restaurants, they're already vegan, with lots of raw options. So when I became more like mainly raw 2 years ago, it wasn't such a struggle socially. And I have a partner at the moment, and she has pretty similar, you know, it's not like exactly, but pretty similar lifestyle and eating habits. So yeah, I didn't, you know, I have a child with someone like 8 years ago, because at the time I was very different, and that would have added challenges. So that's why I'm quite interested in your experience. How is it now for you?
I love that yours was a lot smoother. That's like your divinely timed transition. I loved that.
Because otherwise, we're so similar. Because same, I did prestigious business school, and so many of the things you said, I was like very aligned. The only thing is, for me, I had the, let's say, the luck of not having such strong attachments. Let's say, like having a husband and child would be, you know. And so, of course, I had good friends that we had some levels of separations, but it's been more smooth in that way.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Sorry, what you were asking about now? Yeah. So how things have evolved.
So you live in Gold Coast, right? Which is which is still like Australia and mainstream in a way, but that's also I used to live in Bondi Beach, and the similarities that actually helped me for my awakening, because like the beach culture, people are more health conscious, and you know, they still meditate a lot, go to the gym, and all these things that can help. So I'm curious. It's not a spiritual hub like Ubud, but still probably like, how is it to be who you are on the Gold Coast, socially, relationship wise?
Yeah, as you said, it's definitely not Ubud, but yeah, no, it's been a blessing, like a massive blessing. It is beautiful here, and as you said, the beach culture helps. You know, people are more health focused and more active, and you know, even if they're not aligned in what you've, you know, what we're on about, you know, they are more conscious and more excited to try different things as well, and a bit more open sometimes. I would say, yeah, they're more open than other cities, I guess. If you can consider this a city, I am in the little pocket, which is really nice. It's called Burleigh Heads, and it's just beautiful. You know, it's not tropical, but it's good. Yeah, and the people are lovely.
Great surf.
Feels like a smaller village. Yeah. Surf. Yeah, that's it. We went surfing on the weekend. I'm still learning. Yeah. But in terms of relationships and so on, so well, I separated 4 years ago. 4 years ago, obviously, and I went through the whole single mom with two boys. I actually separated when the whole meltdown of the planet happened, and everything closed. I literally had walked out just as that happened, and that was the biggest blessing as well for me, because everything kind of stopped. And for someone that was, you know, needing to have that happen, that it happened, and it was so beautiful. And so, you know, it's been interesting, the dating and so on, more so probably not even because of the diet and so on, but even just the differences in dating, you know, in back before I got married, you know, to now. I'm 37 now, and so what, I met my husband at the time at 21, I think. So, you know, I obviously dated before then, and totally different worlds. So now add in, you know, two kids and a completely extremely opposite way of eating and living and breathing. And
it's pretty
and
niche.
It's been fun.
It's pretty, yeah,
we found the niche, which is great. It's not many fish in that pond, and that's perfect. So, yeah. But you know what's interesting is that that has assisted me. You know, there's a lot of attachments to wanting a guy that was all of that already, and you know what I found is that I needed to go through different, and I, you know, I dated a few men in the last 4 years, and I spent a lot of time on my own, so much time on my own, which was absolutely necessary for me. So all of that got me to the point of, you know, got me to realize so many traumas and so many things associated with, you know, my own crap that I needed to deal with. And it was nothing to do with someone else's diet and, you know, someone else's whatever, which, yes, you know, I definitely don't want certain things and I do want certain things, but it doesn't mean that I can't date or I couldn't date someone that was just a normal human being in terms of, you know, what they ate and, you know, as long as they were open and they were learning and they were, you know, in that hungry phase that we are all in to change and evolve and learn and experience different things and that sort of thing. So, you know, that's, those are the, I guess, the men that I dated. But there were challenges there. And to be honest, I actually noticed my own self-sabotage mechanism, just wanting to fit in, you know, and by that I mean, you know, not going all the way to eating animals because I haven't. It's not something that interests me at any level. But, you know, with cooked foods and playing with cooked foods, just cooked vegetables and just cooked vegan food, you know? And it's quite interesting how I needed that, not just to see how and notice my own self-sabotaging mechanisms, but I mean self-sabotaging because of the way that it made me feel and the way, the reason why I was doing it was to try and fit a mold, to try and want to belong to someone, to not be alone. And all of this, there's so much depth to all of that. And once I realized that I was happy, happy beyond happy to be on my own and doing my own thing, so happy, that's when I, you know, met the man that I'm with now, who wasn't a vegan, who wasn't, you know, into detox, that didn't know all of that, but he was into growth and, you know, expansion and excited to, you know, to learn. And he's always into all of that. And I just realized, I was like, wow, there's no way I would have given, you know, a man like this a go a couple of years ago, because all I wanted was so fixated, you know. And it's been incredible because, you know, by just being me and knowing, letting him know that that's who I am, if that's reciprocated and that's received and that's, you know, then we can follow along and journey along together. And I guess that's a realization we all have. I don't know about you, how, you know, obviously you guys have similar lifestyles, but when you met, were you in that way, or did it morph, and have you guys changed together?
Yeah, to me it's an interesting balance of compatibility and also just pure love and acceptance, because it's true, if you come with a checklist, well, I mean, I think it's good. I have a checklist, but then things are going to change. It's life, you know. You're with a living being. They're not like this. Yeah. And yeah, life's going to happen. And in one way, I think it's very important to be as compatible as we can in terms of lifestyle. Yeah. And at the same time, I think one of the strengths of love is acceptance and that kind of fluidity in with life. And I find some couples who have been maybe 40 years together, their lifestyle is very different and they're still together. And in a way, I find it very beautiful that they manage that.
Yeah.
One famous one is Annette Larkins. You know her?
Yes.
All the black women. And her husband is like, you know, quite fat.
Opposite.
Doesn't really care about that. And, you know, they seem very happy and love each other, and I don't think that's the path I would want, but I have respect for that, you know, and that's cool. And so in that balance, that seems a little bit off balance to what would be my balance, but at the same time, on the other side of the spectrum, when I was speaking with Shane Sterling, he was talking about his partner was like, oh, exactly the same, and amazing also. I'm very happy with that. But then it's like having also some flexibility. So in my case, well, first, I'm also a little bit conscious of how much I talk about it publicly, because I would need to discuss it with her. But from what I'm pretty sure she'd be okay with. When we met, we were quite similar. Then I went a little bit more what people would call extreme, which is like living in Ubud. It's easier, but I'm still like, you know, I come with my jackfruit to the party because there's going to be like a vegan buffet and it's going to be cooked food. So that's something we're navigating also, is what socially, going to a restaurant, all these things that we can make part of a beautiful relationship. Like, how is that potentially changing? So,
It's massive, you know. It's probably the biggest thing for us, for us all, navigating that, even not just even our intimate partners, but, you know, everyone around us. So socially in general. So,
And Nova, we've done quite a bit on relationship. I'd love to ask you, as you were mentioning the raw foods, also as a woman, I'm really interested in some questions I'd love to, that I've covered with men, but sometimes it's better to have the direct experience. So what's your current diet, and how long has it been, like in a nutshell?
Okay, so yeah, what, 10 years ago, 9 years ago is when I started transitioning, I guess you want to call it, vegetarian, then vegan, high raw vegan. When I went from a vegan to high raw vegan, that's when I did the 40-day juice fast. Mm-hmm. And after that, I was high raw vegan for a while. And that was a process of realizing, you know, just starting to lessen the amount of cooked foods versus, you know, the alive electrical foods.
So when was that, the 40-day water fast?
It was juice. I did watermelon and orange.
When was it? How long ago?
That was 4 years ago.
So now let's say
before,
it's been, about four years
basically.
You're mainly like high raw vegan. I'm curious on, did you have main changes on bleeding, for example, on your cycles?
So they were all positive to me. Not for temporary. Temporary, there was actually some hiccups. And so this is something that I talk to with women that I help all the time. You know, I used to bleed a lot and I used to be in a lot of pain. And so I was put on the pill, the contraceptive pill, at 18, basically, because of that. And that's what they do to women if you go to the doctor and you say, you know, you've got heavy periods and so on. Like, oh, let's fix this. Let's put you on a pill. So I was on the pill for like 7 years. I had very heavy, like 6 to 7 day periods of just heavy bleeding, lots of pain, to the point where I went to the hospital a couple of times thinking I had a ruptured appendix. Like, that's the pains that I was in, you know, younger days. And so they were heavy and painful until I started really diving into, I think maybe when I started changing my diet, they might have gotten a bit better, but I wasn't really paying attention, to be honest. It was only after, you know, once I started doing longer fasting and changing my diet more, that's when I started noticing bigger differences. And what happened was, it was quite regular, but bleeding a lot. And what happened is I started bleeding less days, less amount, but a lot less pain. Like, the pain was the best part, like, not like reducing the pain and the discomfort, was like night and day. And there was a couple of times where I actually bled more. So some women lose their period, and that's, or, you know, temporarily reduce, or, you know, it changes, it fluctuates. And that's when, you know, we all freak out as women, and everyone freaks out and go, oh, it's not good, you know, but it's always temporary if you're on the right track. That's what I tell them. So, you know, your body will go through, you know, fluctuations and, you know, healing crisis, or whatever you want to call it, you know, detox symptoms. But when we're talking about bleeding, and menstruating, it's the, I mean, menstruating, yes, that's a, it's a waste disposal as well. So anything that doesn't belong is going to be removed whichever way it can by our vessel. And we know this, you know, through, you know, any channel, including for us women, every month we have that house clean, the womb clean. And if we are heavily toxic or stagnant, you know, lymphatically, we're going to have more blood, more pain coming out. So I had that period, funny, I had that period of a couple of months after I did the juice fast, when I was really, really high raw and a lot of juicing still. And that's when I actually bled for, I think it was 10 days every couple of weeks. And I just did that happened and it was too much, obviously. So I kind of assisted that with herbs to slow it down. But when I was bleeding in that way, I wasn't bleeding just the regular menses. It was fibroids and other things that were coming out. So, and, you know, let's speak frankly, different smells that shouldn't belong in the body. All of this stuff happened in that, you know, in that couple of months where I was really detoxing, I guess, and bleeding out more. So that can happen. So you can bleed a lot more over a period of time. And actually your body is removing a lot, but you have to be, I guess, mindful. And so with my clients, you know, I always have them say, well, just let me know what's happening, because we can slow things down or we can speed things up, so that you're not, you know, in that process of, you know, bleeding out all the time. Or, you know, if you're concerned because your period has disappeared over, you know, a period of time, you know, we can change things up a bit so that your body's not, you know, fully in that detox, that deep detox mode for too long, so that you're comfortably working through that instead of just like, you know, and this is, I guess, the feminine versus the masculine,
yeah,
going through healing and detoxing and so on. I am more mindful now because I've learned from men, and I myself come from a very disciplined, harsh, you know, masculine shield woman that I was, right, into this more relaxed and more surrendered and more feminine and flowing, but still with that discipline. So
that reminds me of the conversation I had with Spira and Lockman, you know, where Spira is a bit more the transition and Lockman's like, okay, get as clean as you can straight away.
I love it, but you need both, to be honest. And especially when you're dealing with someone that has some, you know, severe health issues that are more in the degenerative stage, or, you know, close to that, and they really want to heal. Well, you've got to have both. You've got to have those periods of like going in and being a bit more masculine and hard and disciplined, and then just allowing for a little bit more of that feminine flow, which we all have within us as well. So especially for the women. Yeah.
That. And so leading to now, is it like a few drops, like one or 2 days every month? Is that what you have, and is it what you feel is the right, like kind of right thing?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I really believe, let's put it into perspective, right? And I'm sure you've heard it from others speaking. We're the only animal that bleeds out the way that we do. Like, we got to realize that there's something not right about what we're doing.
I think for animals, it's like when they're domesticated, they can also bleed as much as we do.
Yeah.
In the wild.
Yeah.
In the wild. Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Because it's true. You know, when they're domesticated, they're put on a diet that the humans have put onto them. And that usually involves, you know, cooked foods and things like that. So it's quite interesting. Yes. So from what I had before, 6 days bleeding heavily,
yeah,
that's now 2 to 3 days max, and lighter bleeding. But I would still say that there's a journey for me ahead, like, because I don't believe that the way at this point in time is ideal either. But it's just been that journey. So from 6 days to 2 to 3 days, less bleeding, no pain, though. No pain at all. As in, I don't even know that it's coming. The only symptom I still have is emotional. I'm a little more emotional, like a little more triggered by things. And that's when I know it's coming. It's quite interesting. I'm like, oh, that affected. Why did that affect me? Like, what the? I've been crying. And I'm like, over what? Okay. I know what's happening. But that's it. That's all I get, you know. And then I actually flow through it. No pain, no inflammation. But when I have had in the past cooked foods, you know, and you know, now I'm fully raw. But I do on occasion and have had more, it's, you know, in some periods of time I've had more cooked food. And by that I mean, like, you know, a cooked meal or a bit of cooked, you know, veggies or whatever within a meal. Not as much as what people would, you know, say, oh yeah, you know, you eat cooked foods. But it affects everyone that is on this path more. And this is the biggest thing that I find, and I have to keep talking about, is when we're on this path of clearing the vessel, right, and changing the way that what we consume is highest vibrational frequency of foods on this earth. And we bring in the lower vibrational frequency, which is just the more dense, the cooked foods, which have been, you know, kind of dehydrated and removed their life force, even if it's just lightly, you know, or even here and there, we feel it. We feel it because we are more in tune with our more clear crystalline vessel. It's not all this mucus and all this, you know, stagnation that's, you know, that's just a part of your body anymore. It's not. So your body's going to react like a little human, like a little baby, when we start feeding them different foods and they're always sick. It's because they're starting to accumulate, you know, layers of mucus and things which are barriers. And because we don't have those barriers, when we clean ourselves up, when we go and have a meal that has cooked foods or other ingredients, because I might have a salad out, and there's been times where I've had a salad at some place and, you know, didn't ask about the dressing or whatever it is, you know, and I feel it straight away. I feel it here. I feel a bit of, you know, mucus. I'm like, or I even get a headache. It's quite interesting. And, you know, it's like, wow, you know, people think that's normal. We used to think that was normal. And now you realize, no, that was just like, my body's not accepting that. Your body won't accept the same things it did before.
And
The
there's
cleaner
also a
you get. Sorry, go ahead.
it's the curse of being more clean too. It's like it won't allow you to do the same things. And we had a podcast, like a conversation with a friend, the one just before, and we talked about, like, where we want to be, you know, because it's life, you know. I've seen people in the detox world sometimes, it's like they can't even be here in Ubud because there's a bit of pollution, and you know, you can only live on top of a mountain because, you know, everything's there to kill you, you know. And then if you have good thoughts, they're probably the worst thing. But
Oh no, those ones.
that's a hard one.
Well, you don't want to be obsessed either, right? Like,
Yeah,
you know, as you're
exactly.
saying, like, you can't be, because the mind and the emotions are on that spectrum of lower vibrational frequencies and higher vibrational frequencies in the same way that foods are.
Yeah.
So your
And
thoughts and your obsession is going to be just as detrimental as that cooked potato. Like,
yeah.
just chill for a minute. Like, you know, if you have
And
to do something.
Nova, I wanted to ask you, because I feel like we could keep going in many directions now. I actually have a bit more time. So how are you if we keep going for like half an hour? Because now we've been going for almost an hour. Let's go. Okay. And so, Nova, I'd like to ask you also on the more spiritual dimension, let's say, that's a conversation I'm interested in, is what do you think the planet is going? Do you feel we're, like, just do you feel there's a shift in frequency, or and that we might go towards like a even more pranic lifestyle and this kind of crazy things that could happen?
Yeah, I honestly believe and I know within me from, you know, from being in that connection and feeling it, that we are all, you know, increasing in vibrational frequency, which is basically that ascension process is just an increase in vibrational frequency on, you know, cellular level, on a human level, on a planetary level. It is a shift that has been happening and is, I think, accelerating at this point in time. But that doesn't mean that that's everyone's experience either, is the other thing that I've, you know, felt into and understood. Some people, as they say, will ascend in body, and some people will remain, as you know, as they say, and that's totally fine because it's all just experience. So
yeah, you're probably familiar with the work of Dolores Cannon.
Yes, love Dolores. Yes. Yeah. Yes. How do you see it? I'd love to hear.
Well, I see the world through my consciousness, right? And the world, the way I see the world is, that's why I brought Dolores Cannon. I don't think there's one planet that we share. I think there's, we all live in our own world. And so every second there's an infinity of new of worlds we can tune into. So my consciousness has been tuning into a world that's ascending and where we're living in higher vibrations. And to me, that's the reality I already live in and that I feel will keep going. And at the same time, I understand it's not going to be the same for everyone, which makes it challenging for a podcast because it makes it a little bit, there's no real point talking about it almost.
Oh my gosh, there's the existential question, right? That's the one. That's the one I've been like delving into, you know. It's like, wait, it takes you to the what's the point, but the point is what you make it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's also a dance with the universe in the way that we can tune our intention to a certain frequency. And at the same time, I've come here to have also some challenges and a dance with
the
external
side.
Which like something that when I came I was like, okay, there's going to be things that are outside my control, even though ultimately they're me, that like, and it's going to be a dance. And so I don't know, and there'll be surprises, but that's why I'm like tuning into a certain frequency. And I want to live in a world that's more pure. I want to live in a world that's where we don't kill animals and where we don't pollute our planet. And at the same time, I know that this is perfect because it's all about the journey, right? And you can have a journey if you're already at the destination.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, I love that. Yeah, so true. It is the journey and enjoying the journey and enjoying the full spectrum of it.
Yeah.
Or at least realizing that it's all yours.
So what I would say, at least personally, then bringing it back to, let's say, this density and this lifetime is I'm tuning into a timeline for sure where I eat pure, meaning at least this vibrant food, like fruits and being a high vibe human being, and that will be that lives long according to usual mainstream standards. A few, I don't know, maybe a bit more than 100, and doing great thing in my life, and that's something I'm tuning into. But I'm also like if tomorrow my friend starts levitating and I meet another friend who's pranic and he's 300 years, I'm like, okay, that's the reality. So I'm not attached. I'm not attached, and like not like I need to live 1,000 years and become Brethayan, but if life brings me there, I'm okay. You know, like it's been already a journey. I couldn't imagine where I'm today, like 10 years ago. So let's see.
I hear you 100% agree, honestly. Mm. Detachment, but with that openness and knowing of the of the process, you know. And I'm not attached and not desiring to sit in a cave and breathe right now. you know, some may, and that's beautiful. That's totally fine. But yeah, I'm enjoying the journey, yeah. You know, with all of it. So,
and that's why I'm doing this, the light leaders. That's the idea, you know, is the people who know everything is perfect and paradoxically at the same time came here to bring the new earth and are dedicated and do the things that we need to do. So yeah, we stop killing and eating animals. We stop like being like we are with nature. And we stop treating each other, humans, in the way we do.
Oh, God.
And a lot of things. So, like, where I put my focus is that at least when I leave, whether it's in 100 years or in 1,000 years, we'll see. But this is, you know, our children don't even know the word war. Because it's just not happening. Yeah.
That's what we're tuning into.
Why do you think some very spiritually evolved beings they seem not to eat in a clean way? Because then there is the conversation of, okay, if it's all consciousness and we're spiritual people, then if you eat at McDonald's, you should override it with your beliefs, right?
Oh my God, this is my favorite question. I love this one because I've been saying it for years, you know, the spiritual bypassing that, you know, we love. And there's so much to talk about this, but I think with the spiritual giants, you know, that are incredible beings, they're light leaders in themselves, there is that aspect that is misunderstood or ignored, or you know, that I guess that almost, I guess, ego driven, I wouldn't say ego driven, but there's an attachment and a belief that they can bypass, you know, certain frequencies that are coming into their body 3 times a day or plus, right? Because they are working in levels of consciousness or levels of, you know, let's say breathing or meditation, and the level that brings, I guess, these practices, sorry, that bring the vibrational frequency of their vessel, their body, higher during that time, during that process, right? So these beings are always working on increasing their vibrational frequency, because that's all we're doing when we are connecting to source, when we are meditating, when we are breathing correctly, when we're, you know, in meditation, whatever it is, we're doing all these practices. That is an increase in vibrational frequency. And so there is an attachment to foods and a bypassing, because they're always practicing this, they don't see the need to change this. That's how I feel it. Or perhaps it's a, you know, they don't know. Most of them don't actually fully know. But those foods are keeping them from their most divine expression. They are leading and have led a lot of them to dis-ease and early death, like it or not. Can blame it on all kinds of things, but you can't escape the realities of vibrational frequency. And if you are someone who's always practicing increasing your vessel's frequency with all of those practices, right, then you're going to feel a lot better, even if you consume dense, you know, lower vibrational frequency foods, because you're always doing that. And that's all it is, really. That's all what health is. That's vitality, that's longevity, that's, you know, that's healing of disease. So even, you know, Joe Dispenza, I love absolutely Joe Dispenza's work, and I listen to him and I go, and he's one that is like up there. He's incredible. And he eats all the foods down here, right? However, what I've realized is, you know, when people come to him and they heal, and they do heal, it's an increase in vibrational frequency in the certain areas that you focus on when you're meditating and breathing, right? That's all we're doing. And when we do this, that's what we're doing. This is the increased vibrational frequency coming into the vessel. So food, the way we breathe, you know, it can be like this or it can be up here. Anything that is higher vibrational frequency in terms of practice or thoughts and emotions are either here or here. And all of it is going to affect us positively or negatively on that full spectrum of duality. And that's just the karma, the consequence.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how we heal or we don't. And that's okay. It's just knowing and understanding that. So I love having those conversations with very spiritual people that really struggle to pull away their attachment to coffee, you know, wines, foods like meat and things like that, because, you know, they are so in the spiritual realm. But most of them come to me with physical issues. And I say, well, the only real thing that you're missing here is what you're bringing into the body 3-4 times a day. So if you keep doing what you're doing and you just change that, everything's going to change. And it's so true. That's, I mean, that's what happens. We know.
Yeah. And it's, it's interesting that you bring Joe Dispenza, because I agree with you. It's all of it, right? We want to eat the best food and have good thoughts in the same time. I was listening to a book by Joe Dispenza. It's called You Are the Placebo. And he talks about how amazing it is that sometimes a group of people in a scientific study that thinks they get the pill actually heal. They don't just think they heal. They actually heal, that they create the very chemicals that they have not had in the pill because they got the control. And that's fascinating. But what's fascinating also, I mean, it is fascinating, but if you go too far, you go, oh, it's all beliefs. At the same time, in a lot of placebo-controlled studies, a lot of time, people who think, like the people who get the control, they have, and they don't have the substance, they have worse results. So the physical is there too. So let's take an example. Yeah. If there are three groups and one group gets the pill, one group gets no pill, and one group gets a placebo, well, if 50% of the placebo heals, it's amazing, because it means the placebo can work. But if 100 people with the pill, the right one, heal, it also means 50% thought they would heal and they didn't, right? So it's both, right? You want to think you're healed, but sometimes you think you heal. And so if you go to McDonald's and think it's going to heal you, well, there's still, we're still in a world of density where there are things that are probably going to affect you, whatever you think about it.
That's it. I mean, this is a conversation that, you know, we have. It's such a good topic, because there's the placebo effect, but yes, there's also, I guess, universal law that still happens. So the belief, I think the belief is can override so much. And it's interesting because when people come to me and they really believe something, and you know, we work together as much as we can, and they still believe something. So look, if that's your belief, you know, and it's detrimental for you in your mind not to, then you know, you need to decide that. That's your decision. You know, it's all you. You are the master of your vessel, of your soul, of, you know, of this experience. So don't override your solid belief. Be open and see, you know, if you can enter into different realms of it. But if you can't, and you're hyperfixated on, I'm going to die if I don't eat protein or meat or whatever it is in you, you know, and that's your belief, then and I can't, you know, if you don't want to be shifted in that, then, you know, that's probably more detrimental to you to be in that stress. So there's that. And then there's also the universal law of, well, as much as you can believe that, you know, Mercury is really amazing for you. Mercury is just like the best, like, superfood out there. We all need mercury, right? If you're going to have that, I wouldn't, you know, but it's probably not going to go the way you think it is. So, and if you didn't know that that's what you're having and you thought it was something amazing, you didn't know that it was mercury and you're having, I don't know what mercury really looks like, and I guess it's, you know, honey, I don't know, whatever, you're thinking, oh, this is so good for me, and you're having mercury instead, I don't think it's going to roll. I don't think it's going to be good, you know. So yeah, it's an interesting one.
Well, thank you, Nova. We've covered quite a bit. And, you know, it was great to get to know you better, for me, for our listeners. And I guess I feel there's a community of people who are very aligned, and that's growing around the world. Helping create the new earth. And there's a niche of it. Like, they're not all the light leaders aren't like raw vegans, or, but there's a niche that's also looking at the diet part. That's here in Bali, sometimes in community gatherings, that's almost my role. Like, I'll come and people are very aligned on all the things you shared, but I'm like the guy a little bit like, hey,
not so.
Are we sure like those factory farmed eggs are aligned with our values? Because we've been talking a lot about the planet and all that, but that's not cool. Anyway. I feel through these interviews that there's a little like powerful team of light leaders, light warriors, however you call it, that is working together. So thank you.
Your work is amazing. Yes.
Oh, thank you so much.
Love this. Love bring how you bring that community together, you know, that we are, and where there's more of us. There's so many more rising up into it. So
There is. What's your main offering at the moment? Like, what do you have to offer to people, mainly coaching? Or?
Yeah, so I'm doing more private mentorship. So because it really requires that, I'm taking clients on different levels of, you know, detoxification, but on their, I guess on their path, you know, with them in mind versus what I was, you know, doing in groups. So this feels more aligned, and it's something that the message has come through several times. I do have a couple of offerings on my website that are just kind of like the short but real powerful, you know, detox missions, like 7 days, 14 days. And that gets, you know, that gets, gives you that taste of what that looks like, feels like, smells like, tastes like. And then I take people on deeper, you know, deeper, longer missions of transitioning, you know, going where they're at, and working with them more one-on-one and longer term. So if they're interested, you know, just have a look at my website, reach out,
Yeah, I'll put the links in the description. Actually, just before we finish, let's take a few, couple of minutes. Just have you done a bit of water fasting, and do you feel like what's your views on water fasting? I'm interested also as a woman if you feel it's different.
So you did a recent one, didn't you? How
I
long did
did,
you go
yeah, I
for?
did 14 days, so 2 weeks.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
amazing. 2 weeks. That's incredible. No, I haven't done long water fasting. I've done a couple of days here and there, but I tend to go for the mono fruit juice. So
Yeah.
either watermelon or orange juice or something like that. And
I feel it's more
intermittent.
the feminine touch, you know? It's like when I go on Jillian Berry's channel, for example, there's all these women, they'll do like juice fast. And then, yeah, like men sometimes, like Dan McDonald or Lauren
Most
Lachman, it's
dead.
more okay. Like, yeah, just the
Going
water.
into the it really is so hardcore,
Or
and
the
it
dry,
is a
like
healer.
the real
Oh, the
hardcore is the
dry,
dry
yeah, the
guy. I'm
real
not
dry.
there.
I mean, I don't take, and that's something that I always say. I don't actually take clients on water or dry, because I wouldn't take people on something that I haven't been on myself. Intermittent dry fasting, obviously water with some juice, or juice with some water, in fasting. Yes, definitely. Those levels are just incredibly powerful. And, I know that there's levels above that. But from what I've experienced with myself and my clients, we get so much out, and so much cleared, and so much regenerated as it is. So I think it's something that you can then master yourself, like you've gone and done it, once you're known, you know within yourself how to go through, not just raw foods and fruits, but juice fasting, then you step into those, higher levels if and when you want to something, definitely. But yeah, how was your experience after 14 days
Yeah, it
enduring?
was like wasn't a crazy shifts or anything so much craziness happening. Like was quite boring though. So it was actually more challenging for the mind, I found, than for the body. It was a little bit Vipassana style also in the way that I wasn't doing much during the day. If you're interested, there's a almost 2 hour documentary from the fasting time where I share every day to the refeeding to the rebuilding. So that's I'll put the
Oh,
link also in the
perfect.
description for people who want to see more and see in video. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
Definitely go into that.
But yeah, thank you, Nova. I'll share the links also in the description to your beautiful work. And yeah, thank you for everything you're doing. Thank you for your courage, because you're in a slightly more matrixy environment, and I think as a woman can be different too. So thanks for speaking about these things. And I'd love to
Thank
give
you,
you
Alex.
like the last few words if you want to share.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Alex, and to everyone that's listening. Don't be hard on yourself. Don't judge yourself or others. Just enjoy the process. If you're on whatever journey you're on, and whatever pace or level you're on, whatever level basically, or transition, or whatever it is, just enjoy the process. And be authentically you, honestly, because that's the beauty of it. You're still going to get to your destination, whatever that is. It's your choice, but enjoy that journey, honestly. Yeah, thank
Aho,
you.
thank
Thanks so
you.
much. Aho,
Thank you
love
so
to
much.
your.
And yeah, and to the listener, if you want to encourage this episode, you can like and share and obviously subscribe to the channel. Thank you also for your time and attention. Much love.